How are you guys? You doing all right? How's Grow Track 1? Awesome. You guys are always the more lively group, I think, sometimes in the other Grow Tracks. And so the new folks, we're so glad that you guys are in Grow Track. We're so proud of you guys for taking this next step and taking a step to grow and to just discover more and more what God's got for you, for your life, whether you've just known him shortly or you've known him for a long, long time. We're just glad that you guys have jumped in and just so glad and excited about what God's going to be doing in your life this semester. It's going to be incredible, the investment that you're making. How many of you, you just made it here tonight? It was a big deal just to get here on time. Raise your hand, a few of you guys. Don't be bashful. That's okay. How many of you got kids? Yeah, I know, you just got here. I know how it is. But we're glad that you're here, and it's an honor. My name's Stephen Courtney. I'm on the staff here at Timber Creek, and I just love being a part of a church that's so intentional about people growing. I've been on staff at other churches, and this is the place. I tell you what, I'm just so thankful to be a part of a team and a church that just wants people to grow and is so intentional in helping people take next steps. And so super excited for you guys as you take that next step here in Grow Track. And we're going to have a good time tonight as we jump into week three. And let me just ask this question. Have you ever had a difficult time describing something to someone else? Like something that was maybe a little bit challenging, a little bit hard to understand? Have you ever tried to do that? Like you had something you were trying to explain to someone, or someone was trying to explain something to you and you were just like weren't getting it, and it was a little bit difficult to comprehend, a little bit to understand. Maybe it even seemed impossible. Have you ever had that before? I know I've probably had that many times happen to me. I remember I lived in France for 2 years. I was a missionary there, and I was part of a team that started an international English-speaking church. And there was this couple on our team, and they were from Holland. His name was Jeroen, and he was this really incredibly bright guy, this young guy, and he knew like four languages. He was just super smart, loved the guy, and we hung out a lot. And he loved soccer, and I love soccer, and we had that in common, but I also love American football. Anybody in here like American football? Okay, yeah, there we go. So it's football season. We're right in the middle of it, just kicked off. And have you ever tried to explain American football to someone that lives outside of the United States and has never watched it before? If you have not done that, it is difficult. We don't think about it because you probably grew up and having somewhat of an understanding about the game and how it works. But if you stop for a minute and you think about how to describe and explain the rules of American football and all that's into it, it's difficult to somebody. And I remember sitting down with Jeroen and we would watch these games and he was just like, I am so lost. I just don't understand. What does third and eight mean? What does that mean? You know, why are they throwing yellow flags at them? What does all this stuff mean? Why does one kick get 1 point and another kick gets 3 points? I just don't understand, you know, and so it's just difficult. There's things like that. Taxes. Anybody just thoroughly understand taxes? Have you ever tried to explain taxes to someone else? I don't get it, and as a minister, it's even more difficult. We have ministers' taxes, and it's just, I've been doing it for over 20 years, and I still don't get a lot of it, right? Let me say this. Hey, Clay, can you explain to me, talk to me about what water tastes like? What's the flavor of water? Can you tell me about the flavor of water? No, you can't. Anybody over here? Chris, can you tell me, talk to me about the flavor of water? Describe and explain to me the flavor of water. It's crisp. That's not a taste. That's all right. Good try. Right. Anybody else? You want to explain to me? It's what? It's neutral. Okay. That's pretty good. I wasn't expecting that answer. That's pretty good. It's just straight water. And I don't know if you describe Lufkin water, that's just ain't no good right there. We can just stop right there. That has its own unique taste to it. But that's just an example. Oh, what'd you say? It tastes wet. That's good. Unique, wet. Okay, there we go. Awesome. Well, there's just some things that are difficult to describe, difficult to comprehend, whether you're explaining it to somebody else or somebody's explaining it to you. And what we're going to talk about tonight can sometimes be a little bit confusing to some people, can be a little bit harder to comprehend. And we're going to explore that subject tonight for many of us, maybe for the first time. And it can sound a little impossible sometimes. It can sound maybe too difficult to comprehend. But we're going to talk about the Trinity tonight. How many of you have ever heard that phrase before? Okay, a lot of you guys have. Okay, that's good. The topic of the Trinity can be a bit of a mystery. It can be hard for many people to grasp and to understand, yet the scriptures, the Bible gives us a whole lot of scriptures about it. It gives us some good understanding about the Trinity and about what it's about, why that's important to us. So just to start, can anyone tell me what the Trinity is? The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Okay, good, good. Have you heard anything else explained before? The Trinity? Not Trinity County. Three in one, okay. All right, anything else? I've heard the beautiful Godhead. I've heard that phrase before. Anybody ever heard that before? There's lots of different phrases for it, right? Okay, but the Trinity. So it's this idea that God is one, yet he exists in three persons. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So total sense, right? God is one, but yet he exists in three persons. And that's a little bit hard for people to comprehend. While that seems a mystery, again, the Bible gives us many passages of Scripture describing what the Trinity is and why it's important to us. We're going to kind of dive into that a little bit tonight. Let me say this as we get started, though. As believers in God and followers of Jesus Christ, do we have a full 100%, or go ahead and raise your hand tonight if you have a full 100% understanding of God and the Bible? Anybody? Okay, good. Glad nobody raised their hand. No, none of us do, right? None of us have like a full 100%, I got this thing figured out, I read it once, I listened to it on tape, and I got this figured out, I got this Bible thing figured out, I've got God completely figured out. Do we understand God in the Bible by having 100% understanding of all things? No, we don't, right? Why am I asking that? What do we believe by? We don't believe by head knowledge. We believe by what? Faith, right? We believe by faith. And I think that's important for us to remember as we're starting this off tonight, as we talk about this idea of the Trinity. We will never, guys, we will never fully understand God and all there is to know about him and his word. We're going to learn a lot as you follow Jesus. If you'll run after him, if you'll learn to abide in him, you're going to hear about that in Grow Track 3 as it goes deeper, you know. But if you will spend extravagant time with Jesus and spend time in prayer, spend time in his word, you're going to learn a lot through a lifetime. And that's what we want you to do, okay? We want you to understand and know the Lord more and more and more and more. But we will never, ever fully understand God and all there is to know about him and his word. Again, why is this important? Because if we knew everything about God and his word, then there would be no reason for faith. There'd be no reason for trusting in him, right? And faith is such a vital ingredient, such an important ingredient to your relationship with God and my relationship with God. We've got to have faith in him. We've got to have this element of trust in him, right? God describes himself as in many ways in the Bible and his word. But in the Old Testament, we see him describe himself as I am. Like this idea to Moses that I am so big, I am so beyond what you can imagine, I'm so beyond what people can describe, I'm actually indescribable, I am simply I am. He is a big God. Have you heard that before? Have you realized that? He is beyond all that we can even imagine and wrap our minds around. He is I am. We serve a big God, and his ways are beyond our understanding. And so if that's true, then we will never fully understand all things. If we knew all things and we understood all things, then why in the world would we need God? Why would we need the scriptures, right? But we do need him, and we do need the scriptures. And we do need moments in our life when we get on our face and our knees before God and say, God, I can't do this. This is too big. You ever had that moment before? Where you just get on your face and say, God, this is impossible. In my eyes, in human eyes, this is impossible, and there is no way that this is going to happen without you. That's a God who says, I am big, I am possible above all and everything that you could ever imagine. Another great way to describe the Trinity is this. What is this right here, or what's inside of it, I should say? Water, H2O. Got some good H2O right there. There's water. I kind of gave it away, but water is made of H2O, right? And I'm not going to do a science lesson because I didn't do very well in that in school. But water is H2O. It's in its liquid form, correct? We got that? You tracking with me? What is this right here inside this cup? Ice, right? And so is the form of this different than what's inside of this? It is different. But what is it still? It's still H2O, right? It's just frozen. It's a solid, right? So you got your liquid, you got your solid, right? Okay? And then finally over here in this awesome Yeti cup here, I'll take the top off, and hopefully this will cooperate. Maybe I can do this without spilling it. Taylor, did you tape this or what? I don't know if you can see it a little bit. You see the steam coming off the top of it? It's different than this one a little bit. It's different than this one. It's hot water, and it's got steam producing, but what is that? It is still H2O, right? And so all three of these things are distinctly a little bit different, but yet they're all the same. And so when you think of God, and you think of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they're all God, but yet they're distinctively different. And so this is just a great illustration of showing the way that the Trinity operates, right? And so let's keep moving on into your notes here. You've got a section there that it just says how they are alike. And so I want to take a few minutes to, when we're talking about God, when we're talking about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, how are they alike? Well, here's four ways that they're alike. First, let me say this, they're united. God is God. He's the Father. Jesus is the Son and the Holy Spirit, right? But they're so united, right? There's a beautiful unified front in that idea. And so number one, they're united in power, okay? They're united in power. You see, God is eternal. He is forever. God is omnipotent. Does anybody know what that means? Maybe you're hearing that for the first time. What does that mean? He means he's all-powerful, right? The Bible speaks of God being eternal, but yet all-powerful. He is omnipresent. Does anybody know what that means? He's everywhere. He's everywhere present, okay? And then he is omniscient, meaning that he is what? All-knowing, right? They are united. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they are God, yet they are distinctly three persons, but the same, and they are united in power. They're also united in mission. What is God's mission, guys? Anybody tell me? What's that? Save the world, to redeem the world, right? Right? And so that's the mission of God. And God's mission was to restore what was broken. You read in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, how things were broken with Adam and Eve. And God's mission was to restore what was broken at the fall. And all three members of the Godhead, the Trinity, are united in that mission. Right? It's just like this water. It's all the same, but yet they have a different function, so to speak. Right? But yet they're all united. They're united in that mission. Number three, they're united in community. I love this. Those of you that know me, I've been the groups guy forever since I've been here, and I love groups. I love community. And I love that the Bible, you know, gives us this example to us right away that God was not just by himself. He was in community. He had the Son. He had the Holy Spirit. And you see from very early on in Scripture that they were in community. Right? God himself existed in community. So those of you that are saying, man, I can just do life all on my own, you lying. You just can't. Even God himself was in community. He existed in community. And that is so important for all of us to remember that they were united in community. We won't do life alone. And this models for us this idea of in the Trinity. And then number four, how they're alike, they were united in love for us. That's my favorite part. They're united in love for us. They're united in love for you and for me and for all of mankind through history, right? Love that. So thankful for that, that God loves us. He's our Heavenly Father, and he loves us enough that he would give up his only son, Jesus, to come to this earth, to be raised as fully God and fully man, to live a life that led him straight to a horrible, horrible death, to die on a cross for you and I, to be the picture of what unselfish, love and sacrifice was for the rest of the world, for all of us, to restore us, right? And then the Holy Spirit, who's there to guide us at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit's in our life. You're going to hear more about that next week. But the Holy Spirit is active and alive in our life, guiding us and comforting us. We'll talk about that in a minute. But they're all united in love for us, for you and I, for all of us, right? So that's how they're alike. So as we go further there, you've got a graph underneath there, I believe, in your notes. And we're going to talk a little bit about how they're each unique, okay? And so for some of you, you may know some of this. For some of you, maybe this is brand new, but let's take it in. And what's great is at the back of your notes for tonight, the last page or so, is a ton of scripture, okay? And I won't read through every scripture because there's a lot of them, but we are gonna look at quite a few scriptures tonight as we talk about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. You guys with me? You doing good? You awake? All right. I'll make you stand up like Taylor did. And do a little dance or something, I don't know. But we'll first look at how each of them are unique. Let's look at God, God the Father. Number one, God is the creator. He's unique in that. He is the creator. In fact, Genesis 1:1, the very first verse of the Bible speaks to it. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Nehemiah 9:6, you alone are the Lord. You have made the heavens, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to all of them, and the heavenly host bows down before you. So he is creator. He is creator of heaven and earth. He is that, and he is unique in that. Number two, God, what's unique to him as well is he's redeemer. He is the redeemer. What does it mean to redeem something? To buy back. It's a great definition of it. To buy something back, right? To redeem it is to buy it back. And God is unique in that he is our redeemer. Now, he gave his son to be that price to be paid to buy us back. But he is that redeemer, right? Psalm 78:35, it says, and they remembered that God was their rock, the most high God, their redeemer, it says in one version, right? So to buy back, God did this by giving us his only son in payment for you and I. None of us in this room deserve that, but he did it because he loves us that much. And he redeemed us as our redeemer. That act of sacrifice brought us back and redeemed us, okay? So he is our redeemer. That's something very unique about God, okay? Number three is he is the developer of the plan of redemption, okay? He's the developer of the plan of redemption. Ezekiel 36:25-27, it says this, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Right? He was the developer. He developed a plan of redemption for all of us, for all mankind. We went down the wrong road. I mean, you just read Genesis, and as you read it, we see that right away with Adam and Eve. We went down the wrong road, but God, he had a plan from that very moment. How were we redeemed? We were redeemed through the blood of Jesus, his son. And that plan was from the very beginning. God speaks immediately after the fall of man, right? How many of you are familiar with the story in the Garden of Eden? And God creates man, he creates woman. They can have anything they want except from that one tree, right? And what do? They go after the one tree. They take of the fruit they weren't supposed to take of. And it becomes just like a scenario in my living room with my three kids. When I sit my kids down, all three of them, Natalie, Landon, and Audrey, and somebody did something they weren't supposed to, and we start to go down the line, God comes to Adam and says, what happened? And what does he do? I don't know. She did it. The woman. He points to the woman. In my house, it's Natalie. It must have been Landon because it wasn't me. I'm old and mature, and I'm 13. I don't do anything wrong, and I'm super smart. It's got to be Landon, right? And then Landon looks at me and says, it's got to be the six-year-old. It's got to be Audrey. He goes down the line, and then Audrey's just, you know, there's nobody else to. She's pointing to the dog, Duke, that he did it, which could very much be the case. But there's this picture, kind of that same scenario, where God comes to Adam and Eve, and Adam blames her, Eve. Eve blames who? The serpent, right? And it's at that moment we went down the wrong road, but God has a plan right away, right away. And you look in Genesis chapter 3 where he immediately says, from your seed will come my redeemer, or your redeemer, the world's redeemer. God, you know, Jesus is going to come from your line, and he's got a plan immediately, a plan for redemption, okay? So that's unique to God. Number four, the final one that's unique to God is God knows the time of Jesus' return. He's the only one that knows it, right? Mark chapter 13, verses 31 through 32 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But as for the day and the hour, no one knows, no one, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son." Who's the Son? Jesus, but only the Father. So really, that's unique to him. He's the only one that knows when Jesus will come back for his church, will come back for us as believers, right? For his second return, his second coming. And so those things are unique. And here's a couple of things that are just favorite things to me, and to probably to many of us in this room about God, that are unique to God, okay? He's the speaker of truth, is he not? Sometimes that truth is hard to hear, but I'm so thankful in a crazy world where there's no absolutes, and in a world that is so up and down, a world that can be just so, and in workplace, those of you that work in a workplace, and when you think nobody can tell the truth, it's so good to know that we have a God that loves us and tells the truth, right? He is a God, a Father of truth, a speaker of truth, and so grateful for his word that is the truth in this day and age and in our life. When everything else around us is crazy and shaking and shaking ground, we know that God's word is always and forever true, 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 speaker of truth. And then the other thing, number two, is he's a faithful father. So grateful for that. Now, some of you in this room maybe have had an earthly father in your life. Maybe he wasn't in your life. Whether he was in your life or not, maybe he wasn't the greatest example of a father. Maybe you didn't have a good relationship with your father, your earthly father. But I can tell you tonight that you have a faithful father in your heavenly father. And don't let the enemy distort your view of your heavenly father just because your earthly father let you down or abused you or lied to you, hurt your family, ran out on you, whatever it might be. You have a faithful father who is so good to us. Amen? And so that is very unique to him. Okay, let's go on to Jesus. Jesus, here are some unique things to Jesus. Number one, he is the Son of God, right? In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, let me read that to you guys. As soon as Jesus was baptized, so let's take you to the moment where Jesus is being baptized by John the Baptist, and he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened. And I love this verse for the Trinity. And I'll tell you why in just a second. But at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending, right, like a dove and aligning on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased." So what's cool about this passage is you see all three persons of the Trinity in action in that moment. You see Jesus, obviously, in the flesh as a man, 100% man, 100% God. He's being baptized. He comes out of the water. And then the dove, which represents the Holy Spirit, comes down and ascends upon him. And then that voice, the voice is from who? From God, his Father, right? So cool there. But he is the Son of God. And all three members of the Trinity are active in that passage, which is really cool. Number two, the big one here is he's Savior. Thank the Lord. He is our Savior. So thankful for that. 1 Timothy 1:15, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, which is all of us, right? Save sinners among whom I am the foremost of all in this passage, and I could agree with that. I'm the foremost of all as well. And so thankful that he is our Savior, that he came and he lived his life to die for you and I, part of that redemption plan that was made right away by God. All those years later, the plan came alive and came real in God's timing, and he is our Savior. That's unique to Jesus. Number three, intercessor. What does it mean to intercede? Maybe that's new to you. Anybody, what does that mean to intercede? To stand, I can't hear you. Stand in the gap, do something on the behalf of somebody else. That's good, right? That's what it means to intercede. And Jesus is that intercessor for us, right? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says, therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So in other words, guys, he is in heaven, and he's that intercessor for you and for me. He's going on our behalf to God, his Father, our heavenly Father, his Father, and he intercedes for us. How many of you are thankful for that? How many of you can think of moments in your life when things were a wreck, and maybe the wreck was your own fault, and it was you causing the wreck in your life, and Jesus was right there interceding for us? Or when we cried out to him and cried out to God because we were in such a desperate place and all we could do was just cry out to him, and Jesus was there to intercede on our behalf. That's unique to him. He is that intercessor on your behalf, on my behalf. So thankful for that. Number four, he doesn't know the time of his return, okay? He doesn't know the time of his return. So I think this is interesting. We said earlier that they're all God, they're distinct, but yet they're the same. And we said what? We said omniscient, which means what? All-knowing, right? So if Jesus is all-knowing, why would he not know the time of his return? And I think what's really amazing about this, and it shows again the power of the unity between God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is this fact that he doesn't know the return. How can Jesus be all-knowing and yet not know that? Well, I believe it's all about submission. I believe that Jesus is so submitted to his heavenly Father, just as he was submitted to the cross, right? He submitted himself to say, yeah, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go to earth and live a life just to go to the cross and die the worst painful death that anybody could ever live, right? I mean, he's dripping droplets, sweating blood in the garden, and God, if this cup could pass from me, let it happen, but if not, your will be done, right? This was not something he was, he submitted himself to that. And because he's, you know, submitted to his heavenly Father, I believe he's submitted to this as well. Jesus chooses to submit to the Father, just as he chose to submit to the cross. So although Jesus is all-knowing, he does not know the time of his return, right? Only God knows that. And Jesus chooses to submit to his Father. And until the moment God says, hey, it's time to go, right? He's doing what? He's interceding for you. He's interceding for me. And again, we're so thankful for that. Here's a couple favorite things about Jesus. Number one, his forgiveness. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Can't be thankful enough for that. His forgiveness, right? He is, because of the cross, his forgiveness of our sins. He went on our behalf so that we might be forgiven, right? Number two, his ability to identify with us. I love that. His ability to identify with you. It's might be easy sometimes to think, well, God, you just don't know what I'm going through. Jesus does, right? He was tempted in every way. He lived a life on this earth just like we do. And he was tempted, he was attacked, he went through everything that we've been through. Hebrews 4, 15 through 16, this isn't in your notes, but I wanted to add it. I think it's just a great passage that applies to this. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, right? But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. And I love this part. Because of that, it says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, knowing that he's been through it. Knowing that he's been tempted in every way helps me approach the throne of grace with confidence, knowing, man, God's going to help me through this time. He's going to help me through this situation, right? So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. It's Hebrews chapter 4, 15 through 16. All right, so that's Jesus. And finally, we come to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, here's some unique things about the Holy Spirit. Probably the most confused of the three, right? Would y'all admit that? For some people, teachings get kind of mixed up on this. And we're going to talk more about that next week here in Grow Track 1. You're going to hear more about it in Grow Track 2 and Grow Track 3. So stick with it. You're going to hear a lot of incredible stuff. But the Holy Spirit, here's some unique things. Number one, fills us with power, right? The Holy Spirit fills us with power. Luke 24, 49, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with what? With power, right? From on high, through the Holy Spirit. He's the one who fills us with power. Is God powerful? Absolutely. He's all powerful. So is Jesus. But it's the Holy Spirit who fills us with power, right? God in us working on our behalf, right? He's working in us, giving us the power to be his witnesses, right? To go do things that are selfish? No. To do things to bring attention to us? No. It's him in us, the power through us to be his witnesses, to bring him glory, to bring his name glory on this earth. John 16:7, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate, which is another name for the Holy Spirit, right, will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Right? It was important that Jesus, after he came to this earth and died on the cross, he had to go. Why? So that God could send the one that he promised, and that was the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus walked in the flesh among the disciples, and I can only imagine when it was time for him to ascend to heaven, the thought in their mind was, God, don't go. Jesus, don't go. We love having you right here in the flesh. But if he would have stayed, then God couldn't have sent the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit, at the moment of salvation, is in all of us at that moment. He's in you, he's in me, he's in all of us at that moment. Does that make sense? And so it was important. It was all part of God's plan that he ascend to heaven so that the Holy Spirit could come and be in our lives, okay? And be at work and fill us with power. Number two, he's comforter. How many of you have felt the comfort of the Holy Spirit in your life and in moments, right? We'll talk about that next week a little bit, but just such a great comfort to us in our time of need and in our life. Acts 9:31, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied, right? Comfort. He is our comforter through difficult times, hard times, tragic times. He's with us. Number three, he gives us courage and boldness to be his witness. So many people, when they read the passage in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, right, it says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and they stop right there, and they're just like, yeah, I got the power, and they don't finish reading it, and it kind of becomes this kind of selfish thing, and it becomes this kind of wrapped up in attention towards the individual, but you have to keep reading the verse, right, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. He was filling them with power. Why? Because he was sending them out. He's filling you with power because he sends you out, guys, into the workplace every day. He sends you into the circle of friends and family that you're with all the time that don't know the Lord and might even not want anything to do with the Lord or the church or whatever. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit's power so you can be his witnesses. Right? These men and women that were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, they went out, they were God's witnesses, and many of them died martyrs' deaths. They needed the power of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit in their life, the power of God in their life, so that they could be the witnesses that God had called them to be, right? So it gives you courage, gives you boldness to be witnesses. Number four, he's our teacher and our guide, right? Love that. That's what's unique about him. God uses the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, to be our guide. And the more time we spend with him, the Holy Spirit, we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit's leading in our life to teach us things, to guide us in the right decisions that we have to make for our lives, for our families, all those different things. And here's two favorite things about the Holy Spirit. Number one is his immediate help. I'm grateful for that. In a time of desperate need, I can get on my face before the Lord and know the Holy Spirit's with me, surrounding me, comforting me. Even when I feel all alone, I'm not, because I know that the Holy Spirit's with me, walking with me, right? It's that immediate help that we're there, right? Or that he's there. And then his voice. Absolutely love his voice. So you might be saying, well, so you hear an audible voice? I never have. But I've learned to understand his voice the more I've spent time with Jesus, the more time I've spent with the Lord. His voice speaks through a song, through a worship song. Mary the belts a song out on a Sunday morning, and that lyric, that line is just what I needed from the Holy Spirit to hear to push me through the incredibly tough week that I just had, right? That's the Holy Spirit speaking to me. It was not an audible voice, but the Holy Spirit used that song to speak to me, right? It's reading the Word of God and being guided through the Word of God to read something just at that moment, just at that time for this Holy Spirit to speak to me. Using a friend, using someone in my life, right, that the Holy Spirit uses, his voice. Okay, so what we're going to do right now, guys, is at your table, we're going to take a few minutes, and there at the bottom of your booklet, it's got three sections, three underlined sections, that it's basically asking, I'm going to look over your shoulder here, Clay, list one thing you know about Jesus, about God, about the Holy Spirit through personal experience. So what we want you to do is we're going to turn some music back on for a little bit and take a few moments to just fill those three out, just something that for, through your own personal experience that you've experienced that you would put there for God, for Jesus, for Holy Spirit, and then talk about it at your table for a minute, and then we'll come back and we'll finish up. Sound good? Go for it. And I want us just to pray for a minute. And before I pray over you guys and we pray about kind of what we talked about tonight, I just want to encourage you, go back through these scriptures that are at the end of this section. Go through them and read them. Go through your notes and read them. And most importantly, I just want you to remember, especially those unique things about God, right? Those unique things about God, the unique things about Jesus, the unique things about the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's something that just, as we're teaching about the Trinity tonight, you needed to hear that. You needed to be reminded that he is the Redeemer and that he had a plan from the very beginning of redemption and that he is Creator, he's Redeemer, he is your Father, as I said earlier, right? One of those favorite things about God is that he is the faithful Father that maybe many of us didn't have a faithful earthly Father, but he's that faithful heavenly Father that you always have. That you will always have forever. And that Jesus, that he is our Savior, right? That it's about his forgiveness. It's his ability to identify with us. To read through these notes and to think about this idea of the Holy Spirit, that he's our comforter. Some of you may be walking through just a difficult, difficult season right now in your life. Maybe just a season that doesn't even make sense to you, and you're trying to make sense of it. Rely on the Holy Spirit to, A, be your comfort, but to guide you through it, right? To help you walk through this season, to listen to his voice, right? And to know his voice. And the only way you're going to know it is if you spend more and more time with the Lord, right? So let me pray with you guys tonight as we close up. Lord, I thank you for everyone in this room. So again, just so excited that they're taking these next steps in their relationship with you, God. There might be people in this room that just recently gave their hearts to the Lord for the first time or recommitted their hearts to you, Jesus. And God, I'm just so glad that they're stepping into Grow Track 1 to hear some of these building blocks, God, that their life, their heart is this soil that we've been talking about here. And the seed of God, the seed of the Word of God is being planted, the work of God is being planted in their life. And God, that seed is going to give birth to life, and it's going to grow in their life. God, I pray that it would grow and grow and grow. But God, I pray for those tonight that needed to be reminded that you're our Heavenly Father, that you're that faithful Father that never leaves us. And maybe that's a concept that we're still trying to wrap our minds around because real earthly dad, he didn't stick around. But yet, God, you're always there. You're always faithful. You're always true. God, we're thankful for your son, Jesus, that God, you sent your one and only son to die for us to go on our place when he didn't do anything, God. He was sinless, but yet he went in our place. God, it was supposed to be us on that cross, but that wasn't part of your plan. You designed a plan, and your son Jesus went to the cross for us. And God, he didn't die and was buried, but God, 3 days later, was risen again, Lord God, so that we could have life and have it abundantly. Your son is our Savior. God, we're so thankful for that. And for those, God, that just need to be reminded tonight of the comfort of your Holy Spirit. God, that at the moment we say yes to you and invite you into our hearts and our lives, the Holy Spirit is active. And if we will just begin to know you, God, if we'll begin to spend some time in your word, if we'll begin to pray, God, maybe there's some of us that don't even know how to pray, but God, if we'll just begin to speak to you and begin to talk to you, God, you're a real God. And you can handle everything that we're walking through. And if we'll just begin to talk to you, that the Holy Spirit will begin to comfort us when we need that comfort, begin to guide us and lead us through the difficult decisions that maybe some of us are walking through right now. God, that you'll even correct us when we need it. So thankful for that from the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk again about that next week, God. But So thankful for those things that the Holy Spirit does in our life. But God, thank you for all these reminders tonight as we've looked into this idea of the Trinity. God, we thank you for you, God, and all three parts of the Trinity, God. And I pray that you would bless these guys. God, I know that there are needs in this room that are huge. And I might not know them, but you know them, God. And I pray for every person that's in this room tonight, God, that they would surrender those things to you, God, and that you would continue to do a work in their lives. Thank you for what they've learned in week one, in week two, and now week three, and what they're going to learn in weeks to come. And I pray that the voice of the enemy would be silenced, that says you're too busy to be here on Wednesday nights. You've got too much going on to commit to something like this. God, we just pray that the voice of the enemy would be silenced, and what's being planted in their lives now, this semester in Grow Track 1, would grow and give such great fruit to them in the future. And God, that you would free them. God, that you would just do incredible things, that they would find the freedom in their life from bondage that they're struggling with. God, that they would find the answers they've been searching for through you, God, and you alone. God, that you would just begin to do great and mighty things because of what they've been learning here in Grow Track. God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.